शांतिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so now then about the different varieties of delusions that bewilder the living entity. So Sutra 27. Because of attachment to inert matter, the conditioned soul is bewildered about happiness and about the spiritual world. Okay. The conditioned soul is bewildered about happiness because he is attached to the material world. He thinks he will find happiness in the material world. In Swarga Loka, in an excellent material, in the material world, in Swarga Loka, in an excellent material body, or in some other way, because he is attached to the objects in this material world, he is also bewildered about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and about the transcendental abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Srimad Bhagavatam 3:10:26, the Supreme Personality of Godhead declares, in the human race, the mode of passion is very prominent. Humans are always busy in the midst of miserable life, but they think themselves happy in all respects. It means the life is miserable. One is working very hard. It is very difficult, but because we have judged happiness as attaining what you want, that so that by that endeavor from the mode of passion you get it, then we will claim, or at least perceive, that we're happy. But the whole environment in which we are endeavoring may not be actually very pleasant. You know, so the overall is it's a miserable life. But within that, we think, oh, we got this, or we got that, or something. In the Katha Upanishad 1.1.12, Nachiketa tells Yamaraj, the Lord of Death, quote, in the spiritual world, there is not fear of old age or of you, O Death. There one crosses beyond both of them. In the spiritual world, there is no anxiety to attain food and drink. The residents of the spiritual world enjoy transcendental bliss. So here we're thinking is that, you know, old age, death, this anxiety to get food and drink, shelter, all this is constantly going on. But within this, then we find a few moments here and there, and then we call that happiness. Right? So, yeah, so this is Krishna's point. Right. In the Katha Upanishad 1.1.26, Nachiketa says, every human being soon meets his death. Quickly his senses become old and weak. Everyone's life is brief. Your chariots, singing, and dancing will last for only a moment. Right? So all your facility and all that lasts only a moment, because the soul is thinking eternal. Right? But unfortunately, life doesn't work that way. Because of the illusion of the material world, so we think, you know, we're here, it's going to last forever, so it's very nice. And then very soon, then you find you're much older. If you think about it, however old you are, then you think back your whole life is basically just kind of like a moment. So, but we think from here on that'll last for a long time. But, you know what I'm saying? So if we're 30 years old and it's been a moment, so all it is two more moments and you're 90 years old. Does that make sense? So that's all it is, you know, there's one moment there. Then when you're 60, it's been two moments according to when you're 30, but it'll still only seem like a moment. So that's the thing, it goes very quickly because working on the eternal platform, it means it should last eternally. But here, because it doesn't, so it's actually very quick. Does that make sense? In the Mundaka Upanishad 1.2.12, it is said, seeing the true nature of the heavenly material planets attained by pious deeds, a Brahmana no longer desires to go there. He becomes renounced and desires to learn the science of transcending the material world. To learn the transcendental subject matter, seeing the true nature, a Brahman no longer desires to go there because what is it? Means, okay, you're sitting here. right? And you're in a place, it's not necessarily so developed, you know, by modern standards, and that it's hot, it's dirty, so many different things one may see. And then if you, but you know, there's a certain amount of you're happy and a certain amount you're not. Now let's say you go to, back to the West, and where facilities seemingly are better, right? There's less of the anxiety, less dirt, less heat, or less whatever, right? But are you that proportionally happier? No, maybe when you first get there, it's for a few moments, but then after that, it's normal life. It's again back to the anxieties day to day. So in the heavenly planets, why would it be any different? Just because we make it more nice, why would it be any different? Right? You live for a long time like that, but still the point is in your mind, it's still 100 years. Brahma lives only 100 years. For us, it's, 311 trillion years, but for him, it's 100 years. Yes. Yeah, again, it's say.
So you just, this is the way you just collect and cause either subtly or materially just so much more baggage that you have to just work through.
Yes. Yes. And the idea is that by having more facility, more baggage, then there's more option for happiness. Technically, you could say maybe there is, but the point is, can you take advantage of it? So that's why satisfaction is such an important element in Krishna consciousness, because if you're satisfied with what you already have, that means you'll be happy. Otherwise, if you're not satisfied with what you have, it means you have to endeavor to get more. So in that process, it's not necessarily going to be happy unless you very much appreciate the mode of passion, the activity of gaining something. But then once you've gained it, then it's over. Now what do you gain? If it's getting the thing, is having the thing, not so much the endeavor, then the endeavor itself will be a problem. Once you get it, then you have it. But then you have it, and then the newness is over, and it's just one more of your possessions like all the other ones. All those other, if you go back and think of each thing, you think, if I had this, then everything would be great. But you have it. It's not great. Now you think, if I have that, it will be great. Yeah, this stays. Everything else doesn't. Everything, whatever it is a problem. You have to remember, why is there a problem here? Right? What's the biggest problems here? Yeah, controlling and enjoying, but what's the specific type of controlling and enjoying that's the most prominent on here? Yeah, sense gratification. The sense gratification comes in the form of?
It means
your family life and all that. Now, when you go to the heavenly planets, what is the major prominence there?
Sense gratification.
So why would it be any less problem? If the problems here come because of sense gratification, why would the problems go away there, when you're in the same environment of sense gratification? Does that make sense? Right? You go beyond that, then in the Satya Loka, then they're not interested in sense gratification. But still, you're in the material world, so still it's temporary and full of misery. So they have less problems. But still, even though it's less, it's still a problem. The heavenly planets doesn't solve your problem. Right? Arjuna is just sitting there doing his duty, getting his weapons. Does he have any problem? Yes? No? Was that getting his weapons? Are you listening to the question? I mean, I know Urvasi is probably pretty good looking and everything, but are you listening to the question? Okay, when Arjuna was in the heavenly planets, in the process of gaining his weapons, He's just getting weapons. Is there any problems? No. When the situation changes to sense gratification and you bring in Urvasi into the picture, then are there problems? Okay, now where did those problems happen? Here? Bombay? New York? London? Can't be France. It can't be Paris, right? Nothing goes wrong in Paris. So where did it happen? Where did he get cursed? No, but where did he get cursed? So they don't have problems? They don't get envious and jealous and this and that? You know what I'm saying? You take the common person, they think, oh, if I was just beautiful like the models or the, you know, the different celebrities and all that, then everything would be so nice. But if you go into their world, you know, they're, you know, out, you know, killing each other over who's the most beautiful and making snide comments. So you don't think that's going to go on in the heavenly planets? You know what I'm saying? You've done pious activity. Why is it here? You have your house. You've worked hard. You've got your house. But your next door neighbor has a better house. Why? Because he did something more. So you've done your pious activities. You go to the heavenly planets. You'll have your nice house. But someone else has done more pious credits. He has a better house. He looks a little better. You know, she looks a little better. You know, they got more boys or girls. They got a fancier car. You know what I'm saying? So where is the problem going to go away? So that's what it says here. A Brahmin no longer desires to go there when he sees the true nature of it. Plus, you only live your 100 years, and when your 100 years are up, you're gone. So he says, deathless, yes. Nobody dies in the heavenly planets. They die outside. Right? It's just like if we say, nobody dies in this room here. And so as soon as someone starts choking or, you know, grabbing their heart, we drag them outside and dump them into that ditch out there. You know, and then when they come along, what happened? I don't know, the guy died in the ditch here, you know. But nobody dies in the room here. You know what I'm saying? So when you think about it, then it's not that much special to go there. You know what I'm saying? So there's always problems. Is it on the platform of Manamoy? Why would it be Manamoy? Religion. Isn't that what you're supposed to follow here to get there? Why is it you're happy out on your, you know, 120-day world cruise, you know, as opposed to being back at your house where you're doing your day-to-day work? Is it because you're following Dharma there, or is it because you're enjoying the fruits of Dharma? Yeah, so you do your austerity here, then you get results over there.
Like a 20-day holiday.
Yeah. It just depends upon what you're absorbing yourself. I mean, Narad Muni got himself into trouble because when they were doing Harinam, he was off, you know, goofing with 50 apsaras. So he got into trouble, right? But other times when everybody's off goofing with apsaras, then no one's getting into trouble. Does that make sense? They have their duties. They do perform their duties and this and that. But their duties are maybe slightly different than here. Over there, they control the universe. Here, you're being controlled by the universe. You know, here you're adiatmic, you know, and over there, they're adidaivic. You know what I'm saying? So the point is it's not that much difference, because once you get there, you get used to it. You know, does that make sense? You're outside, you walk into a room, it's air conditioned, you think, wow, this is nice. But after 5 minutes, are you thinking about the AC? Not at all. Then you get hungry, you got to go to the bathroom, I got to call this one on the phone, or I'm tired, I want to take a nap, or it's getting pretty cold in here, maybe I should turn it down. Or, you know what I'm saying? So, like that. Anything that is separate from Krishna is going to give you trouble. Right? Because the point is everything's about Krishna. So if you're not thinking about Krishna, why his energies are going to leave you in that position? The material energy is dead matter. That's what it is. Right? But the Lord of the dead matter is thinking of Krishna. So she has no problem. Right? We're jivas. We're supposed to be working under the internal potency. We're not. So we're forgetting Krishna. So we're not in our natural position. Therefore, then there's difficulties. Why is piety rewarded? And impiety is, one's punished. Why? It's connected to Krishna. It's indirectly. Krishna is given the scriptures. He's given what's good action, what's bad action. So therefore, according to scripture, you've accepted authority. God's the supreme authority. You've accepted the shastras, so you've accepted the principle of authority. Then if you follow what's good by authority, then you get rewarded for that. But if you don't accept authority, you go against authority, then you're punished. But the real point is not just to accept authority, but to accept the supreme authority. Where does authority come from? Right? The principle of authority comes from Krishna. That's why it's important. Good comes from Krishna. Good means what is connected to Krishna. Right? When we say in the Shastra, one should do good or behave in a good way, what does that mean? Good means according to what the scripture says. Right? Does that make sense? So that means it's according to authority. And who is that authority? Krishna. So in other words, ultimately, good means doing what is pleasing to Krishna. Right? But if people aren't going to directly accept that, at least indirectly they accept that through the form of the Vedic culture. But the Vedic culture is actually trying to get you to remember Krishna. Does that make sense? There's no suffering.
In the Hellish planets, there's only suffering and no happiness. And the other side, there's no suffering and happiness, material happiness.
Depends how you define suffering. You understand? Because here the point is being made. Is it saying the common man no longer desires to go there? Says a Brahman. Why? Because a Brahman can see Brahman. Okay. Just trying to see how, what is the, on the blunt scale, how blunt we get here. And, maybe take the blunt song. Okay, you have somebody, that means there's a guy, he thinks his girl's very attractive, right? But now he's trying to make some interaction with her. So in one sense we'll say that's a nice thing. But in the other thing is how much anxiety is there? He doesn't know she likes him, doesn't like him, or it was nice and so will it last, will they be there tomorrow? So is that enjoyment or suffering? You understand? In the reality, it's a form of suffering. But because it's in connection with relationship, we will identify it as happiness. Right? You understand? but it's a form of suffering. So that's the whole thing. There's no suffering if you're interested in sense gratification and prestige and all that, then it's not. But prestige, is that suffering or enjoyment? Always an anxiety of what people think about you and that, you know, you're doing better than them and they're not talking about you behind your back and all that, but aren't they? Of course they are. So it's all suffering. But because you've decided in your own mind, if I'm at this level of prestige or I, you know, get this facility or this situation, I'll be happy. Therefore, you categorize that experience as happiness. So technically it's suffering. You know, the guy sitting on top of, you know, finally got to the top of the mountain and everything, and he's on the top and looking around, and he can look in 360 degrees, see everywhere, the world's his and all that. His toes are freezing. His nose is freezing. His fingers are freezing. He's starving, hungry. He's about to die from fatigue, but he's on top of the world. So unless at that point a helicopter comes and picks him up and then he flies off into the sunset, then he's got to climb back down that mountain. So that's the whole thing, is that all those elements of suffering become part of his so-called happiness. Does that make sense? The point is that you're nourishing the experience coming from relationship. Right? But the problem is in the material world, being that it's all temporary in that, it can't give you very much of a result. But in the spiritual world, it's all about Krishna. So being together with him, that nourishes the happiness, but then that also cultivates the separation. The greater the happiness, the greater the separation. The greater the separation, the greater the next happiness on meeting. The greater the next happiness on meeting, the greater the suffering from separation. But there, negative and positive are all in connection with Krishna, so therefore it's wonderful. In the material world, then whatever it is that's important to you, by the suffering part, you get separated from it. Right? But because you're absorbed in Krishna, you're never actually separated from Krishna. It's always in connection with Krishna. So things that are not in connection with Krishna are always going to be miserable. Just you decide the certain kinds of misery you're going to call happiness. Which statements?
There's only happiness but no suffering.
These are there to inspire people that they will do something in connection with the Shastra. Because it's not saying something wrong, because if you say you're going to go to the heavenly planets, you're going to live so long, you're going to have a, you know, beautiful form, never be older than 16 years old, you know what I'm saying? You know, you don't have to work for a living. Everything just goes nicely. You'll say, that sounds great. So for you, you identify it as happiness. But if you really analyze it, it's not. Does that make sense? So for the materialistic mind, heavenly planets is happiness, hell is unhappiness. But for the devotee, it's all unhappiness. And anything connection with Krishna is happiness. So therefore, it doesn't matter. Prahlad Maharaj is in the palace being taken care of nicely by his father, or, you know, he's put in dungeons or taken out, you know, into the ice or this or that. It still doesn't matter for him. He's absorbed in the Lord. You understand? Vishwam. Vishwam Punam. Okay. So, why would that be different from the statements he's saying? So, just out of the blue you're coming up with this?
No, I'm just
or is it not based
how,
on his?
How in one sense we have in our, we see that this Lord is
they go together? It's like the top and the bottom of a sandwich. How do you put them together?
How do you understand?
You put all the stuff here and here and then stick them back to back, you know. Put the toothpicks through it to hold it together. But see, so why does it have to be that this, all the stuff is between the two pieces of bread? Why not the two pieces of bread should be between the stuff? Right? You have two pieces of cheese, in between you put a piece of bread. No, I understand what you're asking. It's just interesting to see the various, what do you call it, synapses fuse for a few moments. The living entity in the material world, he sees that there is happiness and distress in the material world. Certain things, whatever, according to his perspective, is good, and certain things are bad. And depending upon who you are, there'll be, you know, different concepts of good and bad. And in general, there'll be an overall kind of idea of good and bad. So therefore, everyone will consider that more nice facilities is good, and more, you know, hellish facilities is generally not so good. You know, maybe unless you're a goth or something. You know, but other than that, then there's a commonality of ideas, right? Now the person going to the next stage in self-realization understands that everything in the material world is actually not his suffering. Because it's just another side of, it means your happiness is just another side of the suffering. I'm saying, because in actuality, all that anxiety, so there's 1/11th of a second that you, when you gain, in other words, what you want that you say will make you happy, when it actually comes into the moment, at that moment you'll say, I'm happy. And then after that, you won't. Does that make sense? So, and that is only because you perceive that that would make you happy. Someone else, you know, one person is eating, go, wow, this is great, and the other goes, oh, this is disgusting. So, there is, you know, therefore, it's because you have an idea. Does that make sense? Okay, now, then the next stage from that, because that means you're freeing yourself from the material world. The other one is when you've become situated, established in the spiritual consciousness, then because you see Krishna everywhere, you know, and Krishna is the source of happiness, why you won't see happiness everywhere in the material world? Because it's Krishna's energy. It's just inferior energy, but still Krishna's there everywhere. That everyone's soul, everyone's servant of Krishna, everyone can take up the process of chanting. You know, everywhere you see, you know, Krishna's energy is interacting. So there's nothing that you don't see in connection with Krishna.
It's crazy, that's the mood of a preacher. He's always excited when he sees Krishna.
Could say like that, but also the point is a preacher means he's inspired in Krishna consciousness, so therefore he's able to inspire others. So if preaching's not going on, means people aren't inspired. If preaching's going on, means somebody is inspired. Does that make sense? Because that's the whole thing. Whatever you're inspired, you can make other people inspired. If you can't make anyone inspired, means you're not inspired.
Can I ask one more question?
Sure. You heard.
Actually, Prabhupada must be class. He said, the mind cannot exist without pleasure.
The mind cannot exist without pleasure.
So it seems like the mind, whatever it experiences, it's a relation of taste. And it, whatever it is, he always, even if it's misery, he still kind of, it's like a form of rasa for the mind.
Yeah. Well, it's just like the person is feeling sorry for himself, they're getting a taste out of that.
Yeah.
And so if others don't feel sorry for them, then it ruins their taste, so they get angry. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a taste there, you know, saying, yes, I'm so foolish, I'm so stupid, I'm really an idiot. And the other guy goes, yeah, maybe you got a point there, you know? And it's kind of like, you know, you're not supportive, you're not this and that. What do you mean? I was fully supporting what you said. You know what I'm saying? So it's that because there's an emotion there that creates an, it means there's an identity there. And that generates an emotion. Because of that, then they're tasting. But the, in other words, it can't exist without it. Either it's in it or it's aspiring for it. But in other words, happiness is it's because it accepts and rejects. So it accepts what makes us happy and rejects what doesn't. But in any case, it's based around happiness. You know, you reject that which doesn't make you happy. So still, the center point is happiness. Is that okay? Yes, sir. You're okay. You had something? Then you're
serving material energy. And you just get
you're serving material energy.
Where you're serving, you know, when you can see Krishna, when you say you're happy.
But why would you be serving material energy?
Material
it means you're serving Krishna. You may be using material energy. You know, it's just like maybe you're using a not so high quality potato or your first class potato, but you're still serving. No, go ahead, go ahead. Yeah. It's like this, do one thing. When you're saying these things, say them. Don't just look and then every time that I say this and that thing, oh, did I say it right? Well, maybe, and you know, oh, kind of, yes. You know, just say it, okay? Much easier. Because what you're saying is right. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Because it says, so that's the sutra. Because of attachment to inert matter, the conditioned soul is bewildered about happiness and about the spiritual world. So then what is happiness in that? They become bewildered because they don't really know. And they're bewildered about the spiritual world because they don't really understand. Like that. It gets covered. Right? So,
so it's... when their relationship develops...
Yeah. Yeah, you give up the lower taste. There's no interest. You know, if you get something better, why you'll take something worse? You know what I'm saying? Yeah? Okay, then continuing. To learn the transcendental subject matter, one must approach a spiritual master. In doing so, he should carry fuel to burn and sacrifice. The symptom of such a spiritual master that he's expert in understanding the Vedic conclusion, and therefore he constantly engages in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I think this is that shloka. Prabhupada always quotes it. Tad vigi, what is it? Yeah, I think it's this one. He quotes this one very much. Yeah, Shrotriya Brahmanishtam. So that's the whole thing. Expert in understanding Vedic conclusion. That's the element of Shrotriya. Like that. Because Shrotriya means that he can make you see these spiritual truths. Does that make sense? Means you're trying to understand the philosophy, they can say it so you understand it. Right? That's Shrotriya. Like that? Does that make sense? In the Mukanda Upanishad 1-10, it is said, thinking material pious deeds the best of all actions, and affirming that no other action is better than them, fools go to Swarga Loka, enjoy, and then return to this world or the worlds beneath it. In Bhagavad Gita, you know, yeah, so that was before, and then we see, therefore, the Brahmins who understand the truth don't bother with it. They approach this bona fide spiritual master. In Bhagavad Gita 2:62-63, the Supreme Personality of Godhead declares, quote, while contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them, and from such attachment, lust develops.
and from lust anger arises. From anger delusion arises, and from delusion bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost, and when intelligence is lost, one falls down again into the material pool. Right? So he's giving a very nice, you know, psychology of how the progression works, is that you see something, you think that's nice, so that's the attraction, that's the prajumna element. Then it moves into attachment for them. That goes into the anuruddha aspect. So then that lust develops that you have to have it, then that need. Then there'll be, endeavor, right? When the endeavor fails, you know, in other words, you're not satisfied by the results of that endeavor, then will come anger. Right? And then from anger, delusion, because either then you'll go for it more or you'll give up everything. You know, either become harder working at it or become a pessimist, you know, like that. And then from that, then you'll, then actually what is happening, you know, here, the memory, what is the actual, the context of the whole thing, because you can become so absorbed in it, you forget the context. And then when that, then the intelligence is not there, proper action won't be there, and then one is just completely, you know, washed away. Does this make some sense? You see, so much of the time, someone's thinking something, then they get very attached, and then they're so attached, and they can't, you know, let anything go, you know, like that, and then they're so absorbed in it, then they're trying from every angle, and this and that, and they just won't, you know, let anything go, and then it all falls apart, and then they can't figure out what happened. Right? You know, you tell them, you know, relax, be natural, all these things. These are all just trying to counteract this. But of course, the only thing that will counteract this is Krishna consciousness.
How do you want to get the best results?
You want to get the best results.
Attachment seems to
get in the way of getting the very attachment to get the good results keeps you from getting them.
Yeah.
Because the focus then is on the result rather than the action. And because there's a specific action that has to be performed, you're not actually working with that specific action. You're just thinking that by desiring the result, I'll get it. So therefore, you're not focusing in the moment and working with actually what's going on. You're actually projecting into the future. So what happens is the mode of passion takes prominence. And because the passion is there, you can't deal with the present. You know, that's why even those who are the most passionate, they must be able to control their, you know, the senses and their focus and keep it in the mode of goodness. So that's why these very successful people in the world, then on one sense, they may be very materialistic and everything like that, but they have a quality that the common man doesn't have, and that of being able to focus and control his senses. And because he can do that, he gets a bigger result. Of course, how he uses it, then that's another point of question. But it's they're able to do, so that's why they're actually in a better position. Like that. Does that make sense? So they're not actually common. You know, common is just you get a little bit and just life goes on. These people get way beyond in so many, excel in so many, because their focus and their sense control is so much greater. Does that make sense?
So what enables one to focus on the activity and not the result?
The activity and not the result. Either Krishna consciousness or serious materialism. Does that make sense? It's for Krishna, therefore it's not for you, so then you can work and be very, very diligent to the point, because you're trying to get the result for someone else, so you want the best result for Krishna, so then you're working very much. Or you are so committed to getting the best result for yourself, and so therefore then, you sacrifice for yourself. Make the supreme sacrifice to get what you want. Does that make sense? That's why it's easier to take. It means if you can get through to him, a gross materialist, you know, who's not demoniac, but a gross materialist, and then by showing him Krishna consciousness, that same endeavor, he'll become focused in Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? But the average Joe, then he joins Krishna consciousness, there's every chance he's going to,
by nature act as, you know, an average bhakta. You know what I'm saying? Because that drive is not there. You know, that's why you see in the Shastra these persons, they're very materialistic, and then they just switch to the other side, because they know that you're only going to get results by endeavor. Well, the common person thinks it will just happen. It'll be hand, just like I go and buy, you know, a 1 rupee ticket, and then I'll win a crore of rupees. You know, I did nothing. Like that. Always this thing is just, you know, I'm chanting, but when am I going to become Krishna conscious? It means that I make a little endeavor, but someone else does it for me. Rather than, no, you become Krishna conscious. You know what I'm saying? So that's that thing. That's why is that if one has these attacks, then you take those and that, because that same determination, you just apply to Krishna. That was the whole point of Bilva Mangal. Then Chintamani said, if you had this much focus on attaining Krishna as you did in attaining me, you'd be a great devotee. Right? So by how, you know, the situation, how it was said, everything, then that potency was there. And he was able to switch that. So it's not as much a matter of giving up as it's a matter of redirecting or transforming. You know what I'm saying? In other words, those forms that are useless are given up, but the principles on which you are endeavoring, that's not so such a problem. You know what I'm saying? So a person is very expert in an activity of the material world, maybe that activity itself is useless, but the determination and that focus and that endeavor and that he would put into that, that's not useless. That is brought into Krishna consciousness. So that's why sometimes when we put too much emphasis on the activity, then we also have a tendency to kill that determination. You know what I'm saying? So it's a matter of redirecting. You know, they're going off in the wrong direction, you just point it in the right direction. Does that make sense?
Is it like a faith
that
doesn't accept Krishna consciousness?
I don't quite get the context. It means you're not accepting Krishna consciousness, what I'm looking for. So what would that... That would mean why you're not endeavoring to that degree?
The application of, you know, being able to switch determination from materialism to spiritualism, failing to do that is because of a lack of faith.
Lack of faith? It could be a lack of faith, but there's every possibility someone's joined because of faith, so it's a lack of actually seeing the connection. Because we're working on the external like that, so we look at everything from the form rather than what's behind it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, people are successful in things because they're doing they're executing the form correctly in the appropriate situation. They're getting the result. So they may not be understanding why that's coming. So for them, then they're stopping that activity because to do that activity, it only reminds them of those goals they were trying to get. You know what I'm saying? So by stopping that activity, then they reorient themselves to other activities. Now, if they're in the association of enthusiastic devotees, they'll enthusiastically take that up. Then with time, they'll get purified. Then even they can do those activities they were doing before, but now for Krishna. You know what I'm saying? He was big bank manager and this and that, and, you know, just so absorbed in it, very materially inclined, he joins the temple, so, you know, he washes pots, he does other things like that, and he just stays away from managing, because when he manages, then he gets into that whole materialistic mood. But with purification, then he'll be able to take up management again, because now he sees it for Krishna. But he knows the skill, so now he can use it for Krishna. So if he's in good association, that's there. But if the association we see is like Prabhupada could take people that were very absorbed in one way, and then just turn them around the other way. So in the same level that they were endeavoring outside, they would endeavor inside. So you wouldn't have that lull in between. You know what I'm saying? So that's the trick. So the main thing is enthusiasm, because we take, Prabhupada would be the most enthusiastic. So he's able to do that. So in good association, then one is inspired. Like that. That's why one is always looking for association that you're inspired in.
association is more advanced than the self, right? Because then you will be inspired. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So this is the basically second time we've only gotten through the one page.
That's the thing. You probably go through this every day and have something new about it. That's the only difficulty with this method. It's very thorough. You know, so at the end you can go through very, very quickly. You could read pages and pages and pages by this method every day, but it may take years before you get to that point. Okay, so today is
Tuesday.
So then on Thursday, we'll try to finish this and go to then Prabhupada's purports. Because it's two pages of purport, so Prabhupada has a lot in this way. Okay. No, we'll just continue in the afternoon. Like that. Because the morning is kind of uncertain exactly how it will work.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi